And we're glad to have him. I heard a couple weeks ago, I heard that he had open dates. And I thought, man, it's a bad thing for that guy to sit around and rust. So we don't need that to happen. I want to put him to work. So I called him up. He said he could come. And so he's preaching for us all day today. So, Brother Noble, if you'll come, we'll fix it. He's a little bigger than I am.
Thank you, Pastor. That's very kind of you. Amen. Look in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 11 this morning. Book of Mark chapter number 11. I enjoyed the good singing. Amen. It helped my heart and blessed me. I do know how it feels. It feels good to know your sins are forgiven. And then I can stand redeemed. How many of you here ever licked the S&H green stamp? I saw there's some sour looks on faces. Spurry and Hutchison. And Mom bought groceries on Wednesday because that's double stamp day. And let the kids lick them because they don't have no taste, you know. And we'd lick those stamps and fill those books, you know, and about a couple times a year, I guess, went from Andrews, Texas to Odessa, Texas, where the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Center was. Boy, we'd take, seemed like, grocery sacks full of those over there, and you know, all the way over there, visions of sugar plums danced in my head, you know. If you go in that store and you turn right, life was worth living. Everything you possibly need for the existence on planet Earth was found to the right side of that store. Ball gloves and balls and bats, fishing equipment, hunting equipment, footballs, and just everything you need. If you turn left, it was gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Because everything on the left of that store was not needed for the existence of man. Dish towels and curtain rods and washcloth. And my mom would always turn left. Then I knew all that licking had been in vain. You can load up a basket full of stuff and go to the counter, you know, and you pull out a wad of money and it wasn't any good there. Only one thing was good at the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Store, and that was S&H Green Stamps. Gold bond stamps weren't any good there. I do not think that Peter is a gatekeeper at heaven. But if he is, he's not looking for church membership or a baptismal certificate or your tithing record or your faith promise giving. There's only one thing that redeems us, and that is the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. If you got Mark chapter number 11, say amen. Amen. Verse number 1, when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent afore two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way in the village over against you, and as soon as be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon every man sat, loose him, and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do you this? Say you that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. I've seen some things I thought the Lord needed, but I never had that reaction from people that owned it. Verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosen the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strayed them in the way. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12, and on the morrow when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of fig was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. I want to go back to verse 13 and find the text for our message this morning. for the Bible said that he found nothing but leaves on the tree. Father, would you help us today, Lord, as we have come to this place, Lord, we enjoyed the singing, hearing the singing, and singing the hymns and songs ourselves. Lord, I really enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. Help my heart. And Father, if you don't show up in this hour, in this time, it'll all be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. So, Father, Lord, we invite you to come. Would you make yourself real to us today? In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, anybody here get up before breakfast? I did. I guess the rest of you had it served in bed. I don't know. I personally got up. In fact, I made my own this morning, and I do on Sunday morning, and it didn't hurt me any. And but Jesus gets up. He's been into the city. He's gone back out to spend the night. We don't know where he stayed. He said, the foxes have holes, and the birds there have nests. The Son of Man had not where to lay his head, but he found someplace. And he's on his way into town the next morning, and he sees a fig tree in the distance. He sees that it has leaves, and he came. Here's the word the King James uses, is happily he might find anything thereon. Well, he's hungry. And he goes to see if there's what? He's looking for fruit. He sees leaves, but he's looking for fruit. When he finds the tree has no fruit, it really aggravates him, I believe, to the point that he cursed it and it died. Now, he didn't use curse words. We know that. He just said, let no fruit grow on thee hereafter forever. And presently, the fig tree withered away. So, he's still walking up and down roads today. And he's looking at you and me. What's he looking for? Well, he's looking for fruit. Now, we got a lot of us leaves. And leaves can present a false sense of security. We look at somebody that totes a Bible and they got on maybe, you know, a suit and a tie. And by the way, let me brag on you this morning. You look real churchy. Everyone here looks real churchy. Amen. And so we look at someone that looks churchy or that can sing or can play or can give a Sunday school lesson or whatever it is, and we say, that person must be a child of God because they've got a Bible and they know all four verses to Amazing Grace and they know when to say amen and when not to say amen. Sometimes leaves can present a false sense of security. And you can amaze me by the way you look and act. But we're not the one you have to amaze. It's him. It's him. I have three or four thoughts, 18 or 20, I don't know. Probably three, about leaves. I want you to see, first of all, sometimes it's nothing but leaves concerning our service for the Lord. As the Lord rides triumphantly into Jerusalem on this day, this is what's known commonly as Palm Sunday, and that's probably a Catholic thing too. I know a lot of that is, but we'll leave that to the side right now. He comes riding triumphantly in. They've taken off their coats and cloaks. They've made a saddle for the little donkey that Jesus rides in on. Others that as he's riding, they cast their coats and cloaks, their garments in the way. Others that maybe don't have one or already put it down, reach into the surrounding trees and strip the branches and leaves out of the trees and put them down to make Al Gore happy, you know. But they put them all down there in the path to let Jesus ride in on those, and it's paying homage to him. And it's giving honor to him. In fact, they said, here comes the King of Israel. Hosanna to the highest. This is the Son of David. And they're praising him loudly and long with their mouth. But it isn't very long later till this crowd and some of the rest of them are saying, away with him, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. And it was the priests that led that. I'm aware of that. But they led the crowd in doing it. Sometimes we can say the right things and know exactly what to sing and what to say, but have no fruit in our life. Nothing believes concerning our service for the Lord. Some folk have, and I've already got onto it a little bit, but I call it lip service. And Jesus himself said, there's this crowd that draws nigh to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Come in on Sunday morning and sing, but I said, you look churchy in here, but your neighbor can't see you in here. And your coworkers can't see you in here. They've got to see us out there being Christ-like out there as much as we appear to be Christ-like in here. You see, in here it's leaves, out there it's fruit. And it's one thing to serve with our lips and to serve because we're expected, it's expected of us, or we're kind of compelled to do it. Now, all of y'all sing on the last verse, Brother Moses said, I want you to smile and I want you to sing. And I didn't look around because I didn't want to be discouraged and disappointed. Leaves. Lip service. Then there's what I call limited service. We serve out of convenience. If it's not raining or snowing, not too hot or too cold, or, you know, if one of the kids don't have a hangnail. My brother pastored a church up in Indiana for a while, and they had a men's softball team. And it was the sorriest softball team I've ever seen play softball. Last season he was there, the last year he was there, and they had the highlight of the whole year was one game they scored a run. They didn't win the game, they just scored a run. They didn't win any game. Well, I know a lot about softball. I admit that. I don't like softball. I'd rather sit around after a hard rain and watch the cracks dry up than play softball, But I stood behind the backstop and watched them a while, and I didn't have to watch very long until I knew why they was the sorriest ball team. None of them could hit the ball. And if one did get it out there, nobody could catch it. And when they didn't catch it and missed it and ran it down, none of them had an arm enough to get it back in the infield. It was terrible. Well, they had one old boy out in right field. He was a pretty good ball player. I didn't know him. I knew most of the men in the church, and called my brother over there, his name's Donnie, and I said, Donnie, I know most everybody. Who's this guy in the right field? He's a pretty good ball player. Oh, he got this aggravated look on his face. He said, well, the league we play in, one of the rules is to play in the game on Saturday, you have to be in church twice during the week sometime, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, to play in the game Saturday. This guy, he said, only comes during softball season, only comes twice a week, and when softball season's over, we don't see him again till next year. Now, let me tell you something about this guy. He's not having fruit in his life. He's not coming to church to grow and nurture and admonish the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming to see people get saved. He's not coming, amen, to magnify the Lord with his worship. He's coming to play ball. Leaves with no fruit. What good is it having a pocket full of tracks if you don't leave one? What good is it? What good is it if God puts someone in your path that you have a chance to witness to or be an influence on and you don't do it? How's your service? I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. I'm talking about our service for the Lord. Our service. Nothing but leaves. Well, you didn't get very many amens there. I'll move on. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. Well, I never met more want to look like a Christian than we got in these days. I kind of look like it, but there's no fruit in my life. You know, he said, my father is the husbandman. He said, I'm the branch and ye are the vine. He said, every branch in me, that's saved people. If you're in Christ, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, so it may bring forth more fruit. Now, as far as I can tell, the branch is only good for one of two things, fruit or fire. Look, are you bearing any fruit? What's quiet here? Can we get that machine out here and put an amen on it? Look in your Bible over to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, if you're in Mark, turn left. I'll help you out some there with, you know, direction. That way you don't have to go to the index, you know. Psalm 137, when we come to Psalm 137, children of Israel have been captured and carried to a foreign place called Babylon. Now, some of y'all leave your home and go to, a vacation or something, and you drink water that makes you sick for a while, and you don't recognize the food that you're eating, and it doesn't sit well with you. Can you imagine being taken into a foreign country? We go into foreign countries, Gene and I do all the time, and God's given us a strong constitution. We hardly ever get sick, and to God be the glory for that, amen. But we drink water as an evangelist every week, different water, and eat different food. Some of it's good and some of it's not. One lady was such a bad cook, the flies in the neighborhood took up an offer and bought screen doors for the house. Didn't want the little kids in there, you know. Didn't want the little flies in there. By the rivers of Babylon, Psalm 137:1, we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a psalm. They that wasted us required of us mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So now they're in a strange country. The first thing I said here is the sitting by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down. Now, the church is likened to many things in the scripture. This is a spiritual hospital. You spend the week out in the world and you come and get the balm of Gilead poured into wounds. It's a spiritual maternity ward where lost people come and get birthed in the kingdom of God. Amen. But above everything else, it is the army of the living God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. An army can't do anything sitting down. Amen. There we sat down. I see the sitting and I see the sadness. He said, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, if you go back to where Moses leading them out, you know, through the wilderness, what a happy crowd that was. And it always amazes me that one time Moses wanted to kill them all, and God said, we can't do that. Next time God said, stand back, let me kill them all. And Moses said, you can't do that. I'm glad they weren't all on the, both of them on the same side at the same time. Baptist. Now they're in this strange country, and the inhabitants of the land said, sing us one of your songs of Zion. Now, it's not talking about four verses in a chorus. It's talking about the experiences they had, how that God brought them through the Red Sea and how he brought them through the wilderness and how he made their feet not to swell and their clothes not to wear out, how that he vanquished a nation after nation before their face. These were the stories. They didn't have a Gutenberg press to print this out on. They put them to stories and put them to song and music and taught their children so they would remember these things. Now the Babylonians had said, we've heard about your God. We've heard all he's done for you. Sing us a song of Zion. But what had they done? They'd taken their harps, which is a type of joy, and put it up in the midst of the old weeping willow tree, which is a type of sadness, and put it not on the outside, but in the midst, pulled all the leaves around it, and now the only song they had to sing was gloom, despair, and agony on me. Well, let me tell you something. We also are in a strange country. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Now, I can't feel a home in this world anymore. But while we're here, the inhabitants of earth are saying, tell us about your God. They may not say that with words, but that's what they need in their life. They need to hear you and me tell how God's brought us through, how he's lifted us up, how he's sustained us, how he's supplied every need. Amen. I'm afraid that our song for the Lord is nothing but leaves, weeping willow leaves. I'll tell you something, our testimony needs to be more than just what's on the outside. I believe the outside should speak. Years ago, Gene and I were with two other evangelists and their wives, and we went up to Maryland or someplace, and we was already up there, but we went to walk someplace. Boardwalk. Makes sense right there, doesn't it? Huh? Light, come on. And Gene and I walking along arm in arm, and we came to one of those things where you take that big hammer and hit that thing and runs up there and rings that bell. You seen them? So Gene says, Win me a prize, baby. Hell, the pressure's on. I said, okay, and I gave her lady $2, and I took the hammer and hit it, and it went up there and rang a bell, and I won a banana. A stuffed banana about that long, had little jiggly eyes on it, you know. I said, here, sweetheart, here's a 29-cent banana. I paid $2 for it. One couple has gone on somewhere else, but the other couple, Butch and Kathy Taylor, Kathy's turned to her husband, Butch, said, win me a prize. He said, okay, and he gave the lady $2. And he hit the thing and ran up and rang the bell. He won a picture of Michael Jackson. Oh, I was really glad I went first. Had on one sequin glove, you know, and makeup. Couldn't have gone to a better guy, my friend Evangelist. We turned to walk away and had on some jeans and a pullover shirt, some old boots. And the lady said, y'all are Baptist preachers, aren't you? We stopped and turned around and said, as a matter of fact, we're both Baptist preachers. How did you know? She said, very few people hit the bell and say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How's your song? It's one thing to sing when you know people are watching and listening. It's another thing to have a song where you're not aware of anybody around you. You don't know who's going to hear it, but you sing it anyhow. Because you don't know who's watching. Nothing believes concerning our service. Nothing believes concerning our psalm. Look one more place, at least one, maybe more. Genesis 3, turn left again. Genesis 3, it's really easy to find. Genesis, the first one. 3, after 2, right there. Nothing believes concerning our service for the Lord. Missions Conference, 19, 20, 21. I'm preaching Mission Conference for Brother Tom Davis, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. He knew because I was doing it, it'd take longer. How's your service for the Lord? Are you going to show up? Support your church? Well, it's quiet, isn't it? I'm not even got the money yet. I'm just asking if you're going to show up. Is it going to be a friendly face? Even if it's covered up with a mask, is it going to be a friendly face? Is the preacher going to look out there and say, yes, our church is involved in missions and we're concerned about it? How's your service for the Lord? How's your song? Last of all, what about your salvation? In Genesis 3, the devil comes to Eve and tempts her, and she takes a bite of the fruit, whatever it is, gives to her husband. And verse 7, the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Sin now has reared its ugly head for the first time. Come along in the form of a serpent. He is not right now crawling on his belly like snakes do. He was standing upright. The part of the curse that God puts on him is that he crawls and eats dust the rest of his days. If you would take this fruit, you'd be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit, that it was good, the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. And then the eyes of them both were open. Now sin has come along. Got to do something about it. We made the mistake. We made the mess up. Now we got to do the cover up. That's what we do. We do the mess up. Then instead of getting it right, we do the cover up. What are we going to do? We're going to take fig leaves and we're going to sew them together and make an apron. The word apron simply means a covering. That's what it is. Hard job to do that. Didn't have a Singer sewing machine. no needle in Coates and Clark thread. They sewed, they weaved, they did something to make them a covering. And I personally believe when they got them made, they put them on. No reason to make them and fold them up, put them on a bush. Next time someone invites us out to eat, we got something nice to wear. No, there's nobody to invite them. It's just them. I believe that Adam looked at Eve's apron and said, "That's a lovely apron. It brings out the shine in your hair and the sparkle in your eyes. That's a beautiful apron." No doubt Eve looked at Adam's apron and said, "You can't wear those two colors together." "You're not going me. Look, part of that's poison ivy. That's not even fig leaves. Be sorry about that later." That's the way men and women have always been. Men have always been complimentary to their wives, and women have always picked on their husbands. Bunch of cowards here. That's what we got. Now they got their aprons on. And you hear the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden. "Adam, where art thou?" I want you to notice what he answered. Verse number 10, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." Here's the reason. "Because I was naked." "Wait a minute, Adam, where's your apron?" "Well," he said, "I've got it on. And my apron covers my nakedness in Eve's sight, and Eve's apron covers her nakedness in my sight." But he said, "God, I knew when you got here, this wasn't going to be enough. Because it's just leaves. Just leaves." You see, the leaves are man's attempt to cover up the sin that he's done. We use different things now. We try to be faithful to the house of God. And you ought to be. We put in some money when the plate goes around, and you ought to. But that's done to impress man. And the Lord sees beyond these leaves we're doing to see if there's any fruit. What did the Lord God have to do? He had to kill an innocent animal and shed innocent blood to make a covering for Adam and Eve, looking forward to the time that his son Jesus, the Lamb of God, would die at Calvary and make a covering for you and for me. It is the blood that saves. It's the blood that makes a covering. I'm not asking if you're a member of this church. I'm not asking if you're a tither. I'm not asking if you give to Faith Promise Missions. I'm asking, how's your salvation? You can impress everybody around you, but you don't need to impress them. You need to impress God. And he said this, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." Turn with me one more time, maybe, to Luke chapter number 11. Turn right if you're in Genesis. Luke chapter number 11. We find here a fellow that's in a lot of trouble. Luke chapter number 11. Look down to verse number 24. Luke 11, 24. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, "I'll return to my house whence I came out." When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven of the spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And lastly, that man's worse than the first. So here's a man. It doesn't tell us his name. Can I just pick a name? Let's call him Harold. That's me. He's got an unclean spirit, and the Bible doesn't tell us what the unclean spirit is. We can just pick one. He gets on the internet, looks at stuff he ought not to. He drives faster than the speed limit. You see anybody bow their head? And he's a habitual liar, or he drinks a little liquor on the side. Got some unclean spirit. And for some reason or another, Harold kicks the unclean spirit. He just quits lying. He says, "I'm going to quit lying. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to quit lying." When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he, that's the unclean spirit, walketh through dry places seeking rest, And finding none, he saith, I'll return to my house once I came out. See, the unclean spirit has to have a place to live. Are you with me this morning? Listen, we're at the 10-yard line. Don't fade away. Needs a place to live. When the Lord lands on the shore of the Gadarenes, the maniac comes running out of the tomb. You know that story. The Lord addressed himself not to the man, but to the demons. What's your name? Our name is Legion, for we are many. And the Lord, being about to cast them out, they pled with him. Don't put us out in the atmosphere. Put us in a body. They said, here's a herd of swine. Put us in a herd of swine. And the Lord, being a Jew and not caring that much for hogs, said, first case of dabbled ham. It drove the hogs crazy. They ran down a steep place and drowned themselves in the waters. That's first case of suicide. Now that's the best two I got right there. If you don't like them, it's downhill. An unclean spirit's gone out of a man. He walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I'll return to my house once I came out. Now that tells me Harold didn't get saved. Because if Harold had gotten saved, he wouldn't have said, that's my house. Sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same fountain. Amen. When he comes, when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And what does Harold do? He quits lying. Boy, it makes him feel good. Boy, I quit lying. So he looks around his house and he finds some other stuff and he sweeps all of his house out. He just quits doing this and everything he thinks is wrong or sin or bad, he just sweeps it out. But now his house looks kind of empty. Finds it swept and garnished. You know what garnish is? You go to a really good steakhouse. Have you seen this? They bring out a black wooden platter and then a black metal plate because it's really hot. So you got the brown platter and you got the black plate and then you got a brown steak and then you got a brown tater and it's all kind of brown. So what do? They take this little hunk of parsley. Have you seen this? And they poke it right down there between the steak and the tater. I'm going to tell you something about parsley. There's nothing you can do to it makes it fit to eat. I've salted and peppered it. I've Worcestershired it. I've A1'd it. Finally, my wife said, you're not supposed to eat that. I said, what's it there for? She said, it's called garnish. It just makes things look better. So what does Harold do when he sweeps his house out and looks so empty? He goes up and finds Grandma's old Bible in the attic. Puts it on the coffee table. He remembers the kids going to vacation Bible school back in the 60s and 70s, making those plaster of Paris praying hands. Some of y'all remember that? Some of y'all? Huh? He goes out in the garage and finds those and brings them in. He goes to the thrift store and finds a picture of Jesus praying in the garden. He brings that home, puts it on the wall. Goes to a garage sale and finds some of the Noble family's music people got tired of listening to. You don't have to be so happy about that. And he brings it home, puts it in the 8-track. There's young people going, 8-track. It's a better version of the 4-track. What's he doing? He's trying to convince himself, and everybody comes around his house, I must be a Christian because I got the Bible and the music and the picture of Jesus and the praying hands. When the unclean spirit comes back and finds the house swept and garnished, then goeth he that's still the unclean spirit, and find 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they come back and enter there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Because he has tried to live a Christian life without Christ. You listen to me? It isn't long till he gets tired of it. Because he has no help within. Amen.
And it isn't long till he's worse than he's ever been. More wicked sins than he ever did have come back in. And now when you knock on the door and say, hey, I'm First Baptist Church up in Halton City. I want to invite you to come to church. He's going to say, no, thank you. I tried that religious stuff and it didn't help me. But you see, all he had was leaves. Garnish. Some of you got a Bible at home, preacher, that had a stack of them. I got probably 45 or 50 out on the table. And that many more in my trailer. We go to your home, we might find some gospel music playing on the... Or it might be Elvis, but it's... It's a couple of folk gouging each other. I don't know what that's about. I'm not going to get into that. Okay, you got the leaves, but... Is there any fruit? Because that's what the Lord's looking for. Fruit. He saw the leaves, but he didn't find any fruit. Would you bow your heads this morning, close your eyes, ask Mom to come to the piano. Brother Moses, we're not going to sing a song. We're just going to let her play. Father, would you deal with hearts and lives? Begin with me in my heart. Lord, I want to make sure my service bears fruit. I want to make sure my song bears fruit. Lord, while you're helping me, would you help somebody else here today? Lord, maybe there's one that has never been saved, never been born again. Lord, they're a member of this church. They've never been saved. Father, you know I was a preacher's kid. And I was lost for most of all my teenage years. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning with a lot of leaves but no fruit. Would you speak to their hearts today? Father, would you deal with hearts today? Father, would you send the blessed Holy Ghost in all of his power? Lord, help him to touch hearts that need to be touched. Help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Will you stand with us? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While she begins to play, you need to find a place to pray. I want to invite you to come to an altar this morning. Lord, I want to bear more fruit. Lord, I just want to have some fruit in my life. I don't want to meet you empty-handed. I don't want to aggravate you to where you curse me and I die, or you take me and throw me in the fire. I want to bear fruit. Maybe you're here this morning, you never have been saved. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. If you'd come this morning, we'll take an old Bible and show you how you can be saved. You bring your Bible, we'll show you out of your Bible how you can be saved. Fruit. Fruit. That's what he's looking for. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? I'm not asking if you're a member of the church. I'm asking, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Now we know this song so well. With heads bowed, help me on the chorus. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Sing the chorus once again. Here we go. I surrender all.
I surrender all. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to re-preach the sermon. It always irritated me when somebody did that. You heard the sermon. God spoke to you. Don't you think you ought to do what he wants you to do? I think you should. We'll wait just a moment. If anybody needs to come, we'll give you a chance to come. Would you come? God dealt with you. Would you come? Amen. It's good to have you this morning. Would you be seated? We're going to take a love offering for Brother Noble. He's an evangelist. That means if you can't figure anything else out, it means he doesn't have a regular paycheck coming in, all right? There's not a paycheck coming in. He travels the country, and I'm not going to say what I think because it's not right. So I want to give you a chance. Man, I tell you, the message was a blessing to me. If you want to make out a check, make it out to the church. And I promise you we'll give him everything that you give, all right? Because we don't want him to have but one check to worry about bouncing, all right? So make it out to the church, and then if you'll do that, we will take up a love offering for Brother Noble. And, man, I enjoyed the message. Goodness, that was good. I liked it. Some I endured. Most of it I enjoyed. All right, ushers, if you'll come this morning, we're going to receive a love offering. Like I say, if you would, give, and everything comes in goes to him. He'll be here tonight preaching again, all right? And I want you to come back, okay? Just come back. You say, we never come on Sunday night. Well, do something you ain't never done before then, all right? Just do something you've never done and come tonight. I hope you'll do that. Hope you do that. All right, time to pray and a time to give. It's time to give. Pass the offering plate, if you would. Amen. Would you stand with me? We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Now, let me say this, that Brother and Mrs. Noble, they have a table back in the back, and it's loaded up with Bibles, all right, and some music CDs. They sing. You said, why didn't they sing today? I wouldn't let them, all right? That's the reason they didn't sing today, all right? So there's CDs out there, and you can pick that up if you need a new Bible. You can pick one up, and that'd be good. Hey, I tell you what, I'll just tell you, he might not say it, but if you have a Bible that you really like and it's wore out and the cover needs to be replaced, he can do that. He can do that. He can put a new cover on your Bible and do a good job, all right? So he had a good teacher. Well, I don't know who taught him, actually. I think his dad taught him a little bit, but he learned. So anyway, stop by there, all right? If y'all want to go ahead and go, brother, that'll be fine. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Amen. Love to have you. Love to see you here, all right? I hope you'll be here. Brother Pike, would you dismiss us? Amen.